This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pressure doesn't just show up in big presentations or tight deadlines. It shows up in moments you're thrown into something you've never done before. And here's the question every project manager has to really, truly answer. When you're over your head, do you retreat or do you rise? I like that, family. I'll never forget the day that leadership moved me from the technical side of the business into the governance and process work. I was asked to move because my project was ramping down. And let's be honest, here's the truth. I had no background in governance, as well as in those early meetings, I didn't even understand half of the terminology people were throwing around. At first, I was frustrated. I knew my technical lane, but here I was being thrown into something I didn't ask for. And truly, if we're really being transparent, I had no clue. I couldn't even understand what they were saying. That's when I was at a crossroads. Do I throw my hands up and say, hey, you know what? This is probably not for me. Or do I put in the work outside of my day-to-day and learn my role on my own time? And that's when it hit me. I have been here before. I remember one project manager left a company and no one was around to pick up his project. So me, I guess being the crazy, deranged project manager, I made the decision to volunteer to take them on. I know what you're thinking, family. But did I know everything? Not at all. Did I make mistakes? Absolutely. But I learned quickly. I pivoted when something didn't align with the team. And therefore, instead of being criticized, people respected my dedication. That's when I understood something very powerful. Responsibility doesn't always mean expertise. Sometimes it means awareness. The awareness to admit, you know what, listen, I don't know it all. And the understanding that if you stay committed and keep showing up, eventually you'll have opportunity to figure it out. And here's the twist. The same people who once left me feeling confused early in those governance meetings, later on, they came to me for guidance. Confidence didn't always come from walking in with the answers. It came from proving that I was willing to learn, adjust, and keep moving forward. That moment taught me something I carry with me even to this day. Pressure tries to convince you that you're completely in uncharted territories. But the truth is, you faced these challenges before. Different faces, different projects, same resilience. And that leads us straight into our first principle, principle number one. Remember, you've done this before. Pressure makes you feel like the current situation is brand new and unsolvable, but 9 times out of 10, you've already dealt with it in a similar situation. It may have been with different people, different budgets, different timelines, and sometimes even personally. That perspective steadies your nerves. Why is this important? If you forget your track record, you will treat problems like your first rodeo, which fuels panic. Reminding yourself of past wins helps you carry proven confidence into the present challenge. I like that, family. Experiment with these actionable tips. Keep a project win log and review it before every major update. Next one, reframe situation. This isn't new. It's like when you had to do this or that. You remember how you challenged this or that. Next one, share past success stories with your team to anchor their confidence as well. And I know, while experience is your anchor, sometimes the toughest confidence tests are hidden in plain sight. You know what I mean, your inbox. Principle number two, keep your cool in email wars. Email is a terrible medium for resolving conflict. It lacks tone. It encourages performances from those in the CCD and the BCC. Oh, you don't know what I mean. Carbon copy and blind copy audience. Your goal is not to win the argument on paper. It's to solve the problem and de-escalate the tension. Why is this important? Responding calmly and strategically to hostile email immediately positions you as the mature professional leader in the exchange. It starves the drama of the oxygen it needs to grow, and it protects your team from an emotional fallout, building their trust in you. Experiment with these actionable tips. Draft, wait, and reread before sending. This gives you time to cool the tone. Next one, escalate to a call if the chain heats up or the tone can be better managed live. And the last and final one, keep responses short, neutral, and most of all, family, if you don't remember anything else about principle number two, keep it fact-driven. Because listen, if emails can test your patience, live conversations with executives will definitely test your composure. Principle number three, don't panic when executives surprise you. Just adjust. I like that, family. See, executives will always throw a curveball question to test how you think under pressure, not the actual answer. Confidence isn't knowing everything, it's handling the unknown with poise. And let me say this, and so we're crystal clear. They're not doing that to trip you up. They're not doing that. And when I say they, I'm speaking of executives, because if you're presenting to executives and you get a curveball question, it's really to develop you. And I didn't understand that at first, but once one executive pulled me aside and gave me the information, or as we say, gave me the game, I understood that the game was really to help me grow as a leader. It was help me to grow as someone to think on their feet, as they would say. This is important, family, because if you panic, you rumble, or you bluff, I promise you, just as fast as you got up there to talk, executives will lose faith fast in you. If you stay calm, you own the gap. They say a leader who can manage uncertainty, that's often more valuable than the answer itself. So experiment with these actionable tips. Keep a running notebook for I'll follow up type items. Next one, say I'll confirm after the meeting instead of sitting up there and guessing. Another one of the things that you always hear me talk about is I always say, I don't have enough information to answer that accurately, but I can circle back with you with 2 hours work for you or whatever that time frame you think estimate would be. Last and final one, know your top three priorities or points, basically. Always walk into a meeting knowing the three key messages you want to convey. For example, we are on track for a deadline. The team is high performing. Here's another one. We need a decision on X. This way, you could always pivot back to your core message. Of course, the pressure doesn't come from the top. It sometimes always shows up when teams start, you know my thing, pointing fingers at each other. Principle number four, don't get stuck into blame games. Blame is a dead end. It solves nothing. It destroys morale. It wastes this valuable time that should be spent on fixing the thing that we came here to do. What is that? Actually fixing the problem. A blame culture is toxic. Your job as a leader is to create a culture of accountability, which is completely different. Accountability focuses on finding solutions and improving the process. Blame focuses on punishing individuals. Why is this important? When you refuse to participate in the blame game, you immediately elevate above the fray. Become facilitator of solutions, not the judge of mistakes. This builds immense trust. And you know what happens in the same time? You create psychological safety for the team, encouraging them to bring you problems earlier. So experiment with these actual tips. Redirect. For example, what's our next step? Instead of saying, whose fault was this? Next one, document facts and notes, separating opinion from reality. You know the model here. You know the model we stand on. Documentation beats what? Documentation would always be conversation. So document the facts and notes, separating opinion from reality. Last and final one, save root cause deep dives for retrospectives or lessons learned, intense moments. But listen, avoiding blame is good, but the best, the exceptional PM, don't just avoid problems. They hunt for them before they actually explode. Principle number five, hunt for problems before they hunt for you. I like that, family. See, problems don't magically appear. They give off smoke before the fire. A confident PM spot the smoke before everyone smells it. Constantly ask yourself and your team, what am I missing here? What feels too good to be true? You know these type of questions to ask. What are we thinking here? Do you guys think, am I missing something? Are we missing something? What can we do better? reason why we want to ask these questions, we want to think outside the box. We want to get ahead. We want to be, watch this, family, we want to be proactive instead of being reactive. See, this is important, family, because when a problem you predict actually happens, you're not panicking. You're executing on the plan you already thought about. This allows you to build an unshakable trust with your team and stakeholders. It's the difference between a firefighter and a fire marshal. Experiment with these actionable tips. Trust, but you need to always verify. When a team or vendor tells you everything is fine, we're probably going to ask a probing question. That's great to hear. It's on track. Could you walk me through your process or whatever that particular thing is? This is way I just want to gain confirmation. Plus, I want to make sure they understand what it means to be on track. Next one, put your top three risks in every status report. Next one, hold a moratorium. Basically, at the start of the project, get the team in the room and say, imagine 6 months from now, and this project has failed spectacularly. What do you think went wrong? And you uncover a list of realistic risks. Well, I know you're scanning for risks. Don't forget the one thing pressure always tries to steal from you. Your thinking. Your thinking time. Principle number six, protect time for thinking. Pressure makes you feel like you have to stay busy, respond instantly, keep moving. But activity without thought leads to a bad decision, which actually increases the pressure. Why is this important? In a world of constant digital noise, strategic thinking has become a rare gem, a valuable skill, because protecting your time, it allows you to move from being a reactive task manager to a proactive project leader. You'll spot problems early, develop better solutions, and feel more in control. Experiment with these actionable tips. Put focus time or strategic planning on your calendar and do not let people schedule over it. I will say this, if someone is going to schedule over it, it has to make sense. It has to be something project related. If not, you need to protect that at our call because you need to treat it as an unbreakable appointment and you have to make that particular call on that particular thing. Next one, this is one of my favorites that some people, I actually use. I'm sharing things with you, family, that I actually do, or I experiment with to see if it makes sense for the environment that I'm in. Use do not disturb when making big decisions. Again, use do not disturb. I say put do not disturb on your phone or on your meetings and everything so you can focus on what you need to lock in on. And the last and final one, step outside before big meetings so you can clear your head. I know what you're thinking. Even with the time to think, no PM survives pressure alone. That's why allies are truly important. Principle number seven, build allies before you actually need them. Again, build allies before you actually need them. You can't wait until a crisis to start building relationships. Allies are people who back you up, they vouch for you, or share the heat when things get tough. Why is this important? Confidence is easier when you know you're not standing alone in a fire. A nod from an ally in the room can completely shift how others perceive you. I like that. See, you need to experiment with these actionable tips. Share credit publicly and generously when things go right. Next one, help peers with their projects before asking for help on yours. And the last and final one, family, build informal check-ins with stakeholders outside of the crisis. But listen, even with allies, mistakes can and will happen. Confidence is what you do after you fall. Principle number eight, fix it, learn from it, and then guess what we're gonna do? We're gonna move on from again. Fix it, learn it, and move on. Mistakes are going to happen. A deadline will be missed. A feature will have bugs. A stakeholder will be misunderstood. Your job, your mission, isn't to prevent every single error. It's to build systems that recover from them quickly and get smarter each time. Don't treat mistakes like personal failure. Treat them like a tuition you paid for through your project education. Why is this important? A fear of failure makes you and your team timid. It stifles creativity. It encourages people to hide problems until they are too big to fix. When you treat mistakes as a learning opportunity, you address them quickly without drama. Without that what great leadership looks like. It actually builds resilience. It actually helps the team feel less afraid and willing to innovate, experiment with these actual tips. Admit mistakes quickly without excuse. Next one. Capture lessons learned so they don't repeat each other. And let me park there real quick. Capture lessons learned through the entire project. Let me move on to the last and final one. Move attention to the next deliverable instead of rehashing the past. Well, family, I appreciate that you stayed this long. I know confidence is something you're not born with. If you are, congratulations. I wasn't born with confidence. It's something you build. It's something where you build it by being prepared. You build it by knowing your stuff. You build it by racking up small wins day after day after day. The pressures of the job is not going away, but the ability to stand in the middle of the storm, focus on what matters, and lead your team through it is what separates the good project managers from the exceptional project managers. As I shared on previous episodes, remember, your team doesn't need the smartest person in the room. They need the calmest and the clearest one. That's project leadership, and that's leadership people trust. If you're new to the episode, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.